Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, the fastest growing B2B radio network in the country. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki, and with me today is Jarrett Ransom of the Raven Group. And the Raven Group and Jarrett serve nonprofit organizations all over the USA. We've already had people on Facebook this morning saying they're looking forward to hearing this conversation. So welcome to the studio, Jarrett.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm probably remiss to say that our services are global. We have an international client in the Dominican Republic. So our services are worldwide. It's very exciting and the work we get to do. So I'm excited to be here and thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, we've been talking about it for a while,
haven't we?
As we've been networking out there. We've known each other for several years.
That's
and
right.
This is really exciting for me because now we really get to turn the spotlight on you and have you tell us, you know, everything that you're doing on behalf of nonprofits. I know a big focus is around fundraising, right?
That's right. That's our biggest service. And so the Raven Group started in 2009. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go back and share a story about how that started, because it was truly a life story of me failing forward, right? So in 2009, I was working for a Tempe, Arizona-based nonprofit. Reduction in force, the economy crashed at that time, right? I was asked to lay off my staff. 6 months later, Karen, I was laid off. And so this was the first time ever, not really knowing what I was going to do, coming out of a full-time employment. So I curled up in the fetal position.
How long?
For a long time. Maybe I say a week. I know it was longer than
that. Okay, that's not a long time. I work with some people who they're in that position for a long, long time.
Yeah. And I didn't know what I was going to do, right? And so long story short, I ended up, occurred to me when I was getting my master's degree, one of my professors said, "You are never unemployed now that you have your master's degree." Mm-hmm. And we all kind of tilted our head and looked at him with this, "Huh?" You know, and he said, "Now that you have your master's degree, you merely become self-employed in that situation." So, in the fetal position, crying with maybe a bottle of wine and a whole box of pizza next to me, right? It clicked. And so, I took myself to the Arizona Corporation Commission, filed the LLC at that time, and have been working within the Raven Group and building that group. Although in 2009, the group consisted of me, myself, and I.
Got to start somewhere.
That's right.
But now you have a team. I know
we have a team. That's right. There's four other consultants associated with the Raven Group. They are all individual contract employees, come to me with a vast wealth of knowledge in the nonprofit field. So all of us nonprofit executives, the majority of us, if not all of us, have higher level education. Two are certified fundraising executives. So when we talk about our names and our titles and the letters behind your name, right? It's like, we check those boxes. But we do, the services we offer is predominantly fundraising. That is often what opens the door, because as we talk to nonprofits and the community need, no matter where you are in the world, right? It's sustainability. How are we going to sustain our programs? How are we going to continue the funding that is so critical to impact the communities? So you're right. Fundraising is really our main wheelhouse, but we are expanding our service lines with a couple of new consultants that we've brought on. So it's a very exciting time right now.
Sounds very exciting. So I serve on a couple different boards. And then, of course, with Business Radio X, we've had some nonprofits in. And it's always a conversation around funding. So what is some of the most exciting thing? Do you have any experiences you can share with us with some success stories about people that you've been able to help and catapult them to that next level as a nonprofit?
We have. You know, and we work with all levels. So I've helped some organizations, some individuals, founders, literally file the paperwork to become a 501c3.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning, absolutely. And I will be honest, you know, when I get that phone call that says, "I want to start a nonprofit," I say, "Why?" The second question or the second comment is typically, "Don't do it."
Okay, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm a huge advocate that let's look and see what programs already exist. What organizations are already doing what you want to do? Let's partner, right?
Love it.
Believe in abundance. I believe in partnership. I believe in collaboration. I believe in working well with each other and, you know, sharing toys kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how can we do, you know, and execute what it is you want to do, but instead of starting from scratch, let's partner. with another organization. So I've had three phone calls this week, and it's today Wednesday.
Yes, already Wednesday.
Yeah, so let's say one a day. Yeah. Right? This week, if I want to start a nonprofit, or my very new nonprofit is not going well and I need money. Help, I need money.
Yeah.
So, you know, those stories are hard because it is passionate people, founders, individuals that want to make a significant difference in their community. And just like any business, you need capital to start a nonprofit.
And the mission-driven person, whether they have a business experience or not, if they have a passion and a purpose and they really feel in their heart, they tend to automatically say, I just need to start a nonprofit, right? And while that's great and we want to encourage that, it sounds like you help them really navigate through, is this really the right business decision for you and for the passion that you want to bring?
That's right.
Zest to.
Right? And sustainability. So for instance, you know, grants, people think, oh, we'll just write a grant and bring in our operating money. Grants are very competitive. And most funders require you to be in business for at least 3 years. So they want to see 3 years of sustainability. Not all funders, but the majority are 3 years and older. So we're already starting very low with the possibility and potential funding for the newer organizations. So you really have to get your legs underneath you and you really have to show the sustainability. And we coach and work with clients and organizations on that, of course.
Yeah. So tell me about the coaching programs, because I know that, what does it look like for our listeners who... haven't had an opportunity to work with you. What does it look like to be coached with Raven Group?
So this morning I had this brilliant, beautiful young woman from Florida call me. Okay. And it came from a referral from here in Gilbert, of course. She said, we need grants. So the conversation turned into an education of, okay, how old are you? You know, what's your operating budget? This, that, and the other. And so I ended up really suggesting to her the executive coaching, our customized coaching plan, is the best option for her right now because she's really not ready for grants for a multitude of reasons, right? So our coaching packages, we do 4 90-minute sessions. So that's really what they're coming in to purchase to work with. They could work with me or any of the consultants on the team, and it is customized. So you can say to me, you know, I need a new board of directors. Okay, let's work on that for this 90 minutes, you know, and really strategic and focused and driven on our goals. We offer this service and it's also weekly. So we do 4 consecutive weeks so that we keep them accountable, we hold them accountable, and we keep the momentum going because we all learn from, you know, mistakes, right? I've been a little too lenient in coaching clients and I let too much time go by and then they drop the ball, you know, the momentum is dropped. So we really like to keep the coaching to, you know, every week for 4 weeks, 90-minute sessions. And we really get so much done.
Yeah, I was, pardon for interrupting. I would imagine that now that you've experienced that, you can come back and say to the clients, here's why we hold you accountable on a weekly basis. We know from experience that this has, you know, we let too much time go by. I know I do that in my coaching practice as well. If somebody is struggling, I'll say, you know, I gave you the foresight that this was likely going to happen. Here's how we take care of it because we have that experience as coaches and consultants.
Absolutely. So true. So true.
So how does somebody get involved with one of your clients and nonprofits?
Yeah. So right now, the Raven Group services probably, well, I'll just say any given time, 9 to 15 different clients.
Wow.
It is. On all different levels, right? Yeah. So some of them, and we all retainer projects. So we don't do hourly, but it's all a retainer contract. So it could be very small to, you know, very large, where we're spending a lot of time with this client. So they can get involved with some of our clients based off of the mission match. United Food Bank here in Mesa is a client of ours. And so if someone's really passionate about, you know, food insecurities and helping families put food on the table, you know, that would be a wonderful opportunity for them to get involved, whether it's packing the food bags, board of directors. Every organization, for the most part, is looking for new board of directors. Either they're building their board or some of the current board members are terming off, right?
Yeah.
So that's one. Shoebox Ministry here in Scottsdale is another client of ours. They have a phenomenal program where they pack shoeboxes with personal hygiene products, and then they are delivered to homeless shelters, transitional shelters, recovery homes, domestic violence type shelters, housing. So that's another great organization that we work with. We help them hire their first ever full-time paid executive director.
Wow, that's so great.
Yeah, they're 30 years old and making some really 30.
30 years old, and yet they're just now hiring their first full-time paid executive. Yeah. That's fantastic progress with Raven Group's help.
Yeah, the founder started it, and she's looking to leave her legacy and, you know, perpetuity. So
love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Some great stories.
So tell us about the organization in the Dominican Republic. You said that's...
Yeah.
So you're international now.
We are. We are international. And the power of social media, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm very familiar.
Right? It's a love-hate relationship, but this is definitely a love story. You know, whether it's personal posts or business posts that are on Facebook or any other social media platform, a girlfriend of mine from high school, I am from an extremely small town in South Carolina. I think I had about 115, 120 people in my graduating class. To most, that's small. To some, they're like, I can beat you, right? We
right.
had 13. So this girl out of nowhere contacted me and said, Jared, I've loved seeing your post. I would love to introduce you to someone that started a nonprofit. Long story short, she was on the board of directors for this nonprofit in the Dominican Republic. Another girl from our hometown, which is she's a medical doctor at, oh gosh, of course I can't think of the name, a Johns Hopkins hospital. So,
sure.
So very phenomenal success story for both of these, you know, young women. And they reached out to me. They have started this. So we come from, you know, super small town in South Carolina to changing the world millions of miles across the
ocean.
Not
just in the USA, as I said at the beginning of our show. International.
International.
That's huge.
So they're doing medical relief and they're helping with some, you know, medical support and shots and, you know, different kind of medicine for the Dominican Republic community.
So you guys help with grant writing, fundraising, board placement, protocol. I mean, really everything from beginning to end for nonprofits. Is that correct?
That's right. This weekend, I'm facilitating the strategic planning session for the Tempe Leadership Board. So that's going to be a fun one. So we do a lot of strategic planning as well. So really helping the organization and the board members focus on what they need to spend their time in the next 12 months, in the next 3 years. So strategic planning, board development, again, our main wheelhouse is fundraising. But what we've learned over the years, Karen, is as clients get to know us, love us, and trust us, they say, we also need help with this. Can you help with this?
Yeah, so fundraising is a great wreath on the door for you because any nonprofit needs to have that money coming in to support their great work.
That's right.
But I'd love to hear that once they've had a chance to get to know you and you've benefited them, they can also ask you back time and time again to help continue grow different aspects of their business.
That's right.
And nonprofits really are business, aren't they?
They are.
It's such a misnomer, I think, that the name, you know, a charitable organization sometimes I think is more fitting than the term nonprofit.
Right.
Because really, in order to serve your legacy and put whatever out there it is that you're trying to leave an impact with, if you don't have the funding and the money and the momentum behind it, you're not going to be able to have an opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That is so true. And boy, could I get on a soapbox, right? Because when I get these phone calls that say, well, how am I supposed to afford this? It's, have you started a business? You know, like it takes money. And you're absolutely right. It is a business. Nonprofits check a different box when they form their business.
But that's it, right?
That's it.
There are
you zero balance your budget at the end of the year. So everything that comes in revenue-wise needs to go back to the program, needs to go back to the organization. So that's the big difference is we say you zero balance your budget. So instead of charitable, I refer to them as tax-exempt organizations.
Yes.
But they're really the community at large knows them as nonprofits, knows them as charities and whatnot. So
yeah, I love
tax
that.
Tax-exempt.
Yeah, tax-exempt. That's, a straighter term.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it is a business and has to be run as a business. Now, when an organization, though a nonprofit, is small, and it maybe is just one or two people, and it's even part-time for them.
Right.
How does somebody start from that point forward? I know if they were to talk to you, you would first kind of help them really go inside and see, does it make sense for you to actually, you know, go and register as a nonprofit, or are there other organizations already doing the same thing that you could become a member of?
Right. And partner with.
And partner with. After mm-hmm. that, then where does the work take place? Is it a matter of raising funds?
It is. It's a matter of looking at all of your board members in the eye and say, if you believe in this mission, we need everyone to donate a certain amount to the cause. So for instance, my Florida call this morning, right? I said, go to your board, because all board members are volunteers. For, you know, for the most part, mm-hmm. they're all volunteers and they are not willing to roll up the sleeves, their sleeves, and help you with this. So tell them, for me to hire an experienced professional to help me take this organization to the next level, I need X, Y, and Z to do that. Are you willing to make a donation to this organization earmarked, designated for this professional service? So that's a great way.
And individually, so the board members individually can do that. But I know that the boards that I'm on, we have people who are on the board, but they represent a much larger company and organization. And that's fantastic when a whole organization can get behind a nonprofit.
Right.
Send somebody who has the skill set that we need on the board. Mm-hmm. And then also when we have those big questions around, listen, we need money. Mm-hmm. Either as an individual, we can contribute, but also
corporation.
They can go back to their corporate office and say, can you match this? Can you, know, can you beat it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I made an assumption that if it sounds like one of the first things that somebody would need to do would be to establish a board, right? So yes. I've got this idea and you've helped me think through it. And yep, it looks like really there is a need for this nonprofit out in the world. The way that I want to do it might be slightly unique. I'm still going to partner maybe with other nonprofits. One of the first things you'd encourage me to do would be to establish a board.
Right. Actually, when you fill in your 1023 application, that's nonprofit nerd in me.
Sure,
right?
That's okay. We need to hear that. Our listeners are probably curious.
Yeah. So it's the 1023 application that you submit to the IRS and you need to identify your board members at that time.
Even before, okay.
That's right. And create a bio of each one as to why they are instrumental to the organization. So it definitely takes a lot of groundwork and foundation work before you even submit the paperwork to the IRS.
Very good to know.
Yeah.
I've always come in after the fact.
A lot of people put the cart before the horse. That's okay.
Yes. Well, fortunately, I'm just on a board. I'm not running a nonprofit.
Right.
So I'm familiar with nonprofits, everything from silent auctions to golf tournaments to, even something as small as a bake sale, depending on where people are at.
Right.
What are some of the neat experiences you've had in helping people raise funds?
Well, right now we're helping Back to School Clothing Drive. They are a client of ours here in Phoenix. And so they serve Title I schools with children that don't have the essential uniforms and backpacks and school supplies necessary to really be successful in the school. So they're celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
And they're having a gala October 28th at the Phoenix Art Museum. And we are having so much fun with their gala. And really what we're looking to do there, of course, it's fundraising. It's a fundraising gala. So not only are we having a silent auction table and a live auction with an auctioneer, we're using call to auction here, but we're really looking for experiences, right? A lot of people can purchase the things that they want, but not everyone can experience something. And so we're really looking to create, if you will, an experiential list to auction off. It could be anywhere from, we've spoken about Mayor Mitchell, but, it could be shadowing Mayor Mark Mitchell in Tempe for a day. Right.
Yeah.
So I hope, Mark, you're listening and I'll be calling you later.
Yes, or I will.
That's right.
Speed dial. Yeah.
So some experiences and things like that. Another one I would really like to have to help raise funds for an organization, we have the light rail here in Phoenix. Wouldn't it be great to be a conductor for an hour or whatever they call that, right? And kind of like be in the driver's seat, if you will, of course, alongside the professional driver.
I love that because it's related to school. And kids learn through experience. What a great way for these organizations to get involved. And I've found, as I've talked to more and more nonprofits through Business Radio X, that the larger companies, when they are partnering with a nonprofit or even just doing marketing and advertising, they're very interested in giving their company their followers, their customers, and experience, right? So it's not just about, hey, let me slap my name on a billboard anymore, or let me make sure my name's in a brochure next to my $10,000 donation. They realize that there's greater value if they're providing this experience. So I love that you're taking it to this particular event coming up in October.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And, you know, overall fundraising efforts and creative ideas, they kind of run the gamut, you know, golf tournaments, absolutely. We live in Arizona. So, you know, the golf courses per capita are a little insane.
Yes.
So there's definitely a lot of golf tournaments. You know, some people do bowling tournaments. And so it really just depends.
Doesn't matter,
Fashion shows.
Yes.
No, it really doesn't. One of our clients, Pierce Family Foundation, and we're not involved with the event, but they do a clay shooting, which is really cool. And of course, really integrates more of their male volunteers, male donors. So it's a very, you know, male-driven kind of event. Women, of course, are welcome to come and not excluding them, but they do a clay shoot. And so that's always really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So innovative ideas, you know, something different.
And there's a combination between raising funds and involving people so that the name and the legacy continues to grow, right? Because it's one thing to raise funds to support the cause, but we also have to let more and more people know about these great charities.
Absolutely.
Do you help with that end of it? The PR and the marketing piece as well?
So not so much the PR and marketing, but really the coin term, right? In the fundraising world, it's relationships. So it's donor cultivation and it's donor stewardship. So the cost...
Really important distinction.
Extremely. And the cost it takes to retain a donor versus obtain a new donor is night and day. So you want to keep your donors happy. You want to keep them informed. You want to cultivate that relationship with them and steward the relationship, right? So I always say when a donor comes into your organization, it could be via an event, right? Or it could be you introduce them to come in and take a tour. They might give you a $50 donation, $100, maybe a $500. Mm-hmm. And that's often, I always see it, as the test investment. They want to see how they're going to be treated as a donor from you, from the organization, how many times you talk to them through the year. So are you updating them on their donation? Of course, $100, you know, it goes so far. But are you updating them on the programs and the impact that your organization has made? Are you asking them that call to action of, we could use X amount of dollars to increase whatever program, right? Yes. So really, I call that the test donation, the test investment.
I can relate to this because about a year ago, I donated $1,000 to an organization that I truly believe in. And one of the promises when I made that donation and why I increased it from 500 to 1,000, you'll love this, you can appreciate this, because I was going to receive a photo of the group when they were in Uganda.
Nice.
And so I increased it by $500.
Wow.
Not my organization, just little old me. That was a year ago. And I was very sad when I realized, oh my goodness, I never got this photo. Like that's, you know, why I made this commitment. At the time, my son was beginning some nonprofit work and raising some funds for another organization here locally. Yeah. And that reminded me how important it is,
Your
point, to make sure that as a nonprofit that they're following through on their promise and helping bring me in as a donor. I'm just a small donor, $1,000, big deal. But whether you're $50 to your point, $1,000 or $20, $30, $100,000, whatever, we want to know that we are part of the organization and valued. I did actually, to round this story out, just yesterday, it's so funny that we're talking about this, I didn't even make this connection, got this beautiful 8x10 photo of the library that opened in Uganda.
Oh, nice.
And the children were holding a sign and it said, thank you, Karen Nowicki. And I felt so pleased. I had reached out several months ago and said, hey, I would still love this.
Right.
I saw that it was success. The library opened. Congratulations. I really was happy to be a part of it. And I would still love the photo, especially now that my son is making this commitment. And I was happy to receive it.
Nice.
But it would have been great to have it a lot sooner before I started to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Right. Because that was my test donation.
That's right. And it's so critical, you know, and, you know, and again, you know, the statistics, and I can't spout them off, but it costs less to retain donors than to obtain new ones. So keep your donors happy, keep them informed, and up to date of the progress or challenges, right? It's okay. I'm a very transparent person. It's okay to tell your donors that you're experiencing a challenge and show them what solutions you have on the table.
Very important.
A value of mine is transparency and honesty. And it's no matter what it is, it's just making sure that you are communicating that to the proper people in the proper time frame. So I'm so glad to hear that you got your picture, Karen.
I've been meaning to put a picture out there. Now that I've told the story, maybe I shouldn't.
You'll have to.
But I'll share it with you because it felt so special, and to share that with my son and say, listen, you could do something similar to thank the people for contributing to your project. So yeah, a lot of fun. I know you had mentioned some of the people on your team at the Raven Group hold some special certificates. I know yours is in grant writing. Is that right?
I'm a certified grant writer. So I went through the grantsmanship certification course many moons ago. And, you know, once you have it, you always have it. And so I am a certified grant writer. And I, instead of going to get my certified fundraising executive certification or course, I went and got my master's degree in business administration.
Very wise.
But we are, I would say three of us are certified grant writers and the two are certified fundraising executives.
What a great combination, because
Absolutely. Obviously
you need all of that.
Yeah.
When we've talked about mission-driven organizations, I know that your heart is really focused around seeing people come to light with their idea, if it is from, you know, startup, but you've also explained that you've worked with companies that have been around for 30 and 50 years. So with the Raven Group, it's not a matter of, gee, I have this idea for a nonprofit, I need to call them.
Right.
Any age range for these nonprofits are welcome to give you a call and see if they're a good fit for you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because communities change, the needs change, and our organizations need to evolve with those changes, whether it's the language that needs to change or programs, you know, and how the programs are implemented in the community, that might need to be changed. So any organization, we've worked with Habitat for Humanity. Everyone knows, you know, I would think everyone knows Habitat. And I went in and trained their board on how to do annual fundraising. So I trained all of their board of directors here in the Valley, the Central Arizona Center, on calling their donors and asking their donors for their annual gift. So that, you know, that shows you that, you know, Habitat for Humanity has been around for a very long time, very established and well-known national organization.
One of the nonprofits I'm affiliated with and serve on the board, we have yet to do a big fundraising event like a gala or anything like that. And we've all looked around the table and said, this is important for us to do. Would that be something that you could come in and you could share with the board?
Absolutely.
The perspectives? Okay, we'll have to keep that in
mind. Yeah, so Back to School Clothing Drive, you know, we're doing their gala. We also help the Phoenix Indian Center with their gala. And that was a lot of fun too. So
we do
events as well.
Excellent. So if our listeners are curious as to how to get a hold of you and they want to connect themselves or someone that they know who's involved in a nonprofit, how do they find you on this big world wide web?
That's right. Well, the web address is theravengroup.com, and it's spelled a little different. It is pronounced like the bird, but it is Raven, R-A-Y-V-A-N. So www.theravengroup.com.
Excellent. And we will put it obviously out on our social as well.
You.
We've already tagged you a couple times, and then we will do the same on our network when we share the replay. It has been a pleasure to learn more about the Raven Group and your commitment to helping nonprofits be successful. And I hope you'll come back and see us again another time.
Absolutely. Would love to. Thank you for having me, Karen.
Absolutely. On behalf of Phoenix Business Radio X, where we help build businesses and nonprofits, which is one and the same, ladies and gentlemen, and connect you with the right people, I'm Karen Nowicki, and we will see you next time.